What is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to a very special edition, episode 200 of the Massive Breakdown Podcast. We're coming to you live on a Friday afternoon. It has been three episodes in a row that we have been recording at weird times. This one actually happened because Kutch and I naively thought that yesterday, Thursday, was going to be a newsless Destiny day. So we recorded our podcast early in the morning before the TWAB came out. And Bungie, it turns out, makes fools of us all and dropped probably the biggest Destiny batch of news in 2021. It was also a bitch, but it was a batch of news in Destiny 2021. The state of the game just comes out of nowhere, and Jogaroth just laying the info down. And it's a lot of stuff. It's pretty much everything that people have been concerned about with the game, talking about Witch Queen, talking about Lightfall. I mean, it's just a ton of info. So Kutch and I were like, well, what better way to spend episode 200 than talking about the 2021 state of the game, perhaps the biggest news that we'll have all year for Destiny?
Yeah. I mean, short of some kind of late fall post, like saying, here's Witch Queen info, this is pretty much... I mean, they're just laying it all out there, right? Like, what do we were trying to sum this up, and I was just, like, laughing, because it's like, how do you sum this one up, right? We've got Witch Queen, Lightfall, power changes, seasonal changes, infusion changes, a refocusing of what their vision is for PvP, including changes that they're planning to make to the game this year. We've got a reprised raid. We've got transmog. Like, the list just goes on. It's like, well, so the summary is everything is changing.
Yeah, any normal week, any one of those things by itself would have been huge news. And what has basically happened is that they have put all of those things into a single post, which is massive, massive news.
Yeah.
So I don't think we have any housekeeping to do because we just did it yesterday. So, well, I don't even think we need to look. I think we should just spend this episode focused on all of the information that they gave us yesterday.
We, you know, I always want to include those massive thank yous, Shazzle, Zenso Cal. Here's looking at you. Thank you to all the patrons. Thank you to all the listeners who have gotten us to 200 episodes. Boom, housekeeping done. 30 seconds. Let's roll.
Yeah. Only 5 years of worth of episodes. Technically, we started in like 2016 or something. But yeah, it is pretty amazing that we've hit 200 episodes. And if you're looking at our thing, we actually have more than that because we have some IRL episodes. We have some two-part episodes.
I think we have a couple of three-part episodes.
Yeah, we did back in the early days. We would do three-parters. We don't do that anymore. We don't do that here. But okay, yeah, let's break into it. So this is the 2021 state of the game. It was written by Joe Garoth, as you guys might know him on Twitter. Joe Blackburn used to be the raid team lead. He was actually one of my two bosses when I was at Bungie working as a gameplay specialist. I believe that he was pretty instrumental in getting the gameplay specialist position added in there. So him, along with a guy named Jared, were like my direct superiors, like the people that we basically talked to when we had our meetings and stand-ups and stuff like that. So I know Joe as well as I can from having worked with him for 4 months. He was a fantastic guy. It was a major bummer to me to see that he had left to go down, I think, to work at Riot or something for a very short period of time. But then he was back. And when he was back, I knew that it was probably because they offered him, you know, some type of leadership role. And it turns out that he's, I believe, second only to like Luke Smith in terms of the direction of the game now. And that's fantastic, man. Like, Joe's a great dude. He plays a ton of Destiny. He really understands what it is that makes this game tick. Like, when we did our long form playtesting, where we would sit in a room and we would literally like grind Destiny for, you know, 10, 11 hours a day for two straight weeks, he was there with us the entire time playing, right? With his imported character, which was Max Light and everything like that. Like, Joe gets it. So to see him post something like this, that kind of goes down the list of things the community was bitching at and just like check every single box, I feel like it's got to be like a great vindication for them to finally be able to be like, we know you guys have been complaining about this. Here's what we're doing about it.
Yeah. Yeah. This is, there's always somebody out there who's got a stone that's been left unturned. But all the major stones that most people care about, they've turned them over and they've said, okay, here's what we're going to do. Here's what we've got. And I'm, you know, this might be just hot take before we've even talked about it. This might be as optimistic as I've felt about the future of Destiny as a game in a hot minute.
I would agree with that. I mean, outside of PvP and sunsetting, I was already feeling pretty optimistic because this season has been a good season.
The loot's been good.
The rewards have been good. The activities have been good. Like, this is the narrative has been fantastic.
Yeah.
Right? Like, as far as seasons go, this has got to be, you know, top three seasons that we've had. And I'm optimistic about it. But what was happening with PvP and what was happening with sunsetting was kind of dragging my long-term outlook for the game down,
right,
which was unfortunate. This has completely turned it around. And the reason why it means so much to me to see this stuff is because they are admitting that they made decisions that were not the right decision. And instead of sticking with them and getting bogged down and trying to make those decisions work, they have said, you know what, we're just going to undo it. Like, this wasn't right. This wasn't right for players. This wasn't right for our ecosystem. We're just undoing it, right? And in addition, they've clearly learned from some other games that have come out. So I guess the first thing we just need to say is that Witch Queen has been delayed, and it looks like they are entirely shifting their release timetables. So they are delaying Witch Queen until early 2022. Which I then believe all wraps everything else around to where Lightfall will also release early 2023, right? So they're completely shifting their release schedules from early fall to, you know, early in the next year.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's good because working from home right now during the pandemic cannot be easy on them. And we've already seen two games recently come out that have just been, you know, just been raked over the coals for basically being released early and in a completely unready state, right? And one thing that I think studios always forget, especially publicly traded studios always forget, is that, like, it is almost invariably better to delay the game and release it in a better state than it is to release it early and get all that negative blowback early on. Bungie has seemingly, they've always kind of done, like, they haven't had an issue delaying stuff before. But the community as a whole, and I give the community credit for this, the community as a whole is extremely understanding when Bungie delays stuff, right? Like, we might be upset that something's delayed, but on the whole, what I see on Twitter when they announce a delay is, good for you, take as much time as you need to give us a good experience. And I think that it's really nice that the community treats it that way because it frees the studio up to say, we're going to put our people first, we're going to put our product first, and we may take an extra 6 months on this, but we're going to release something that's good instead of release something that's half-baked.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, and they might throw the occasional bit of half-baked filler content out there. But when it comes to that major release, I feel like they have done a phenomenal job in the past of taking that delay and really using that time to give us something that just, you know, makes mind-blowing and overall positive changes to the game. So, without further hype, let's I think jump right in. Right, we've got, I mean, the biggest news of the day, the Witch Queen, Lightfall, and beyond.
Yeah, they talk about the Witch Queen is going to light the fire on a strongly interconnected narrative across Lightfall and beyond. And they said it's unlike anything they've ever attempted before, with characters, arcs, heroes, and villains that will persist over multiple future releases, right? Even more importantly, the conclusion of these releases will also conclude the Light and Darkness Saga, which is the conflict they first introduced with the launch of Destiny many years ago. It is very interesting to me that they say the conclusion of the Light and Darkness Saga, but it's not the conclusion of Destiny. They very specifically avoided using that terminology. So what that makes me think is that this is, you know, the next thing that happens will be the jumping off point for a new saga of Destiny. Maybe it's a different type of game. Maybe it's multiple games. Maybe it's a universe, right? Everybody's doing the universe things right now. You've got the DC Cinematic Universe, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, you've got the Star Wars Universe, you've got the Fortnite Universe in its own kind of way. Like, everybody's doing their own universes right now.
Yeah.
We already saw earlier that Bungie was planning to expand their studios, and they put Luke Smith in charge of the Destiny Universe.
Yeah. Right?
And they explicitly said they were looking at other media right? Could be comic books, could be novels, right? They did that with Halo. Halo had novels, Halo had comic books, Halo now has a TV show that's being built, right? That could be the type of thing that they're looking to do with Destiny as well. It may even be that there ends up being multiple Destiny games running simultaneously that appeal to different genres.
It's entirely possible. You know, I probably would play a Destiny real-time strategy game. I'm just going to throw that out there.
There was a Halo real-time strategy game even. While Halo was running, there was Halo Wars, which was a real-time strategy game based in the Halo universe. So, I mean, it's entirely possible that they do stuff like this. They said that their ultimate vision for Destiny 2 still stands, an action MMO with a unified global community where you can play Destiny anywhere with your friends. They said for 2021 specifically, this means we're going to upgrade our approach to keeping Destiny's weapons and armor fresh, refine the vision for PvP, implement transmog, which is huge, and add crossplay. And then they said that, you know, their most uncompromising thing was that they needed to keep the health of the teams first and foremost. And so all these things combine for them to say, look, we have to shift our release cycle. We need more time in between it. Am I correct in seeing somewhere here, and I can't find it now, but they said that they're going to add another season. That's how they're going to do this shift. They're not going to drag one of the seasons out. They're going to add another season before Witch Queen.
So what they said here, and I've got it for you. So as we begin to scale production on the Witch Queen last year, we made the difficult but important decision to move its release to early 2022. We also realized we needed to add an additional unannounced chapter after Lightfall to fully complete our first saga of Destiny. So I don't know that they have talked about how they're going to handle the seasons this year. But we've got Witch Queen, we've got Lightfall, and then there is a third untitled chapter that I guess for now we could call Beyond.
Yeah, that's interesting to me. So by chapter, you believe that they mean another Witch Queen, another Lightfall, as opposed to another season?
A full, I'm reading this as a full expansion. A full new major release. That said, there's certainly the way that they've been doing seasons suggests to me that they already have some seasons in mind for the end of the year. So I don't think there will be a serious shift in the way seasons are working this year. I think our fall season simply won't have an expansion coming out at the same time as it.
Which actually may be better, because a lot of times our fall seasons are the weakest one because an expansion kind of overlaps them.
Yeah.
Hopefully now that the expansion is not in the fall, we'll actually get a strong fall season, which would be nice. They do clarify that more info will be coming on Witch Queen and Beyond in summer of this year, in summer of 2021. So I'm really looking forward to that. Summer is always a fun time to be a Destiny fan. I bet they're kicking themselves that they use Beyond Light already as an expansion title, because they use Beyond like 6 times in this, and it always referred to stuff that was coming like after Lightfall.
Yeah.
So I bet they're like, darn, we should have saved Beyond Light for, you know, like it should have been something Witch Queen, Lightfall, Beyond Light, as opposed to Beyond Light being the first one.
You know what? You know what? It's working for the new Spider-Man franchise, right?
Yeah.
No Way Home. So why not they can use Beyond at least 3 times in a row.
Yeah.
And it's fine. It's totally fine.
The Spider-Man franchise is playing some fun metagames with all their home names and all the stuff and the jokes that they've been doing. But I'm really excited for the future of Destiny. It's nice to finally have, I think what Destiny had at points in time in its development been missing was like a unified vision and a direction to move as a whole in. There were points in time in Destiny where it felt like the different parts of the game were moving in different directions.
Yeah.
And it seems like now, for perhaps the first time, that has all been kind of roped in together and is now a unified vision that is pushing the game in a singular direction, right? Which I'm really excited about.
Yeah, I would say it's really felt like it's been starting to move that way over the last year, with the exception of the Crucible.
Yeah, which has been seemingly left behind. And Gambit, so, too, to a lesser extent.
And somewhat. Gambit was always the less popular
redheaded
second child.
Yeah. Well, you know, and if we're being honest here, they don't say anything about Gambit in this entire state of the game.
No, they don't.
Like it would not surprise me, and it would not disappoint me to see Gambit go away and some other type of mix of PvE PvP activity to take its place, right? Like I think Gambit was an experiment that people ended up enjoying for a while. I think it's probably time for the Gambit experiment to end. they proved that they could mix the two, but I really think that Gambit at this point is just, if anyone's even working on it, it's just drawing resources that could be better spent elsewhere.
I'd really love to see some variation in Destiny on, like, trying to think of an example, and I've never played League of Legends, so I don't know how good of an example it is, but I feel like there are a lot of games in that genre where you're working up different lanes, maybe you're setting up defenses, building some frames, calling in some fallen allies to help you out, who knows?
I mean, that's what Titanfall's PvP did, right? Like, Titanfall put a bunch of NPCs, just like AI grunts onto the field and basically let you slaughter them. They're useless. It's almost impossible for them to kill you.
But you gain points by killing them.
Right, yeah. So, I mean, it could be something like that. I would love to see, like, a patrol area that had PvP enabled in it, where, like, you could just go into patrol and, you know, in practice, it would probably actually be very frustrating, right? But to me, it still kind of fits in the Destiny universe of, like, I guess the Division had it, like, a dark zone. Of course, it didn't work very well in the Division, but I would like to see something like that done in Destiny, even if it was just a one-time-off thing, and then they tried it, and people were like, this is awful, please never do this again. I'd still like to see it done.
We've already got darkness zones, but they could do it. That's the nice thing about seasons, right? Is they could do it for a season, see how it feels, and then at the end of 3 months, it's gone. And if everyone hated it, it never comes back.
What it would really be is, imagine this. Here's what I just thought of. It would not be a patrol zone that you just, like, stumble into. It would be a matchmaking thing, like a Crucible playlist, right? It would be a big team battle map that there's, you know, teams of six or something on each side. And then it's just also filled with a ton of PvE enemies as well. And the PvE enemies kill everyone, doesn't matter who it is, right? And then the players also kill each other.
Yeah.
Like, that's the way I kind of look at it. That way nobody stumbles into it on accident. It's basically just like a 6v6, you know, battle on a bigger map, except for there's also PvE enemies roaming the map who can also kill you, right? Like,
yeah.
You know, and you get points for killing the PvE enemies. So, like, maybe, you know, an ultra ogre gets dropped in at some point. And whoever kills it gets, you know, 15 points for their team score.
Ooh, the kill stealing.
Yeah. Like, you know, that's the type of thing that I think would be pretty fun. I don't know how we're talking about this. This has nothing to do with the state of the game.
No, we're totally off on a tangent. We can resume that discussion another day. Let's talk about rewards that matter. I think that's where we're at here.
This is probably the biggest news for a lot of people. Like, I know sunsetting was wearing a lot of people down.
Yeah.
And this is, I mean, an interesting thing that he literally says, like, we had goals to do this. He said that infusion caps helped meaningfully shift the meta and create a reward ecosystem that was manageable to balance and monitor. But the system made the rewards feel like they had an expiration date, which it did. And it made playing legacy content feel shallow, which it did.
Yep.
And he says, we don't like that, so we're making a change. Any weapon or armor that can currently be infused to max power will continue to be able to reach max power permanently. So starting in Season 14, they will no longer be capping the infusion on any weapons or armor that have not already reached the cap as of the start of Season 13. So if I'm reading that correctly, that means as of the start of this season,
yeah,
if it has not already capped out, it will never cap out.
Right.
Under this current model.
So the bad news is anything that has already been capped stays capped. So my Masterworked armor is still getting sharded, probably this week. I've been so sad to see it go. I haven't been able to pull the trigger, but I'm going to have to now. But Masterworking armor is again worth the time and effort.
Yeah.
Which is huge.
And what this... And I think they had to do it this way, because if they didn't, people would have been, like, furious that they had sharded the stuff that was now no longer obtainable and was also capped out, right? Like, people would have been furious at that. So I think they had to do it this way. But they do clarify, like, we still strongly believe that we need a method to shift the meta, but we don't think infusion caps are that thing, which... You know, to pat ourselves on the back here is exactly what we said, right? Like, didn't we say this back in the day? Like, I just posted about this on Twitter, but the sunsetting they implemented actually did nothing to fix the problem they were trying to fix, right? Because the only things that were the problem are exotics, which are not sunset, and pinnacle weapons, which I was okay with pinnacle weapons being sunset, or weapons that are no longer obtainable that have, like, game-breaking abilities, right? Like, stuff that's in the Destiny content vault, but it does war mine cells, and like that's, you know, that's required. So sunsetting normal armor did literally nothing, and sunsetting normal legendaries did literally nothing, but those were the vast majority of things that got sunset were normal legendaries and normal armor, right?
Yeah.
So it didn't prevent them from having to take balance passes.
I think you deserve full credit here. I was very much of the wait and see mindset. I was like, okay, I'm not sure this is going to work the way that they think it's going to work, but I'm just not going to be upset about it. I'm just going to wait and see how it pans out. And I ended up very much disliking it. And you, I think you were very much the voice of, this is 100% not going to work. And you were right.
We argued this when we were at Bungie. One of the first things we did as, it's been a long time. It's all in the game now, right? Like, one of the first things Holtzman, myself, and Madison did as gameplay specialist was get into a huge disagreement with the team because they were moving in the direction of sunsetting things for Forsaken. And we railed and railed and railed and fought against it. And we were like, you don't understand how much it's going to put players off to do this to them after they've already had this done to them in the past. And they put it off for Forsaken. They ended up doing it in the future anyways. But the reason being, and I believe that they maybe saw this, is that it doesn't actually save the sandbox team a ton of effort, right? Like, exotics still break everything.
Yeah.
The Lament still did crazy damage, still had to be manually tuned, right? Like, pinnacle weapons were the ones that were causing issues. And I even said this too, I'd be totally fine with you adding a pinnacle weapon each season that is sunset, right? The pinnacle weapon only lasts for like a year or something, and then it dies off. But, you know, my normal SMG that I got from a world drop on, you know, the EDZ, like, that's not what was breaking the game. And the only way sunsetting negates that type of balance issue is if you sunset an entire archetype of weapons.
Yeah.
Which is a whole other, like, problem in Can of Worms. Like, you sunsetting things didn't change the meta from hand cannons being popular and shotguns being popular. It just narrowed down. It just changed the actual hand cannons and shotguns that you could use. It's the same archetypes. It's just a different gun.
Yeah. You know, now we don't get killed by Mindbenders, right? We get killed by Felwinters.
Yeah. And, you know, and the biggest thing that they probably also saw was that introducing new perks, like, immediately motivates players to seek out those new perks and leave the old stuff behind anyways. You know, you introduce new perks, all of a sudden I left every single gun that I had last season, none of which are sunset now. I left all of them behind because I wanted the new perks on the new guns.
Yeah.
They didn't even need to sunset that stuff.
Yep. It's, you know, I think what they'll ultimately find is that making weapons that actually stand out causes the meta to shift. And by standout, I don't mean just having perfect stats and being, you know, absolutely head and shoulders above everything else. I mean having something that makes them unique. Perks that you can't get anywhere else is the easiest way to do that. Maybe a unique set of stats that makes them especially good for certain playstyles. Right? There's a lot of things they can do because all of Destiny's guns are so complex. They have so many stats, so many perk slots. There's a lot of room. And I'm hoping they continue walking in the direction that they seem to be walking in.
That would be nice. In terms of making things better for the player, the second thing they talk about is the power cap. Right now they've been pushing it by 50 each season, and then the pinnacle cap obviously sits on top of that. Now they're saying that they're basically not going to move anything except for the pinnacle cap from now on. So they're just going to tack 10 onto the end of it. So if you were max light at the end of the prior season, you'll now be immediately at the pinnacle band for the next season. I would imagine that that's only going to happen in seasons. I think that probably when they release, you know, Witch Queen, they're going to jump the light up a lot because there's going to be a lot of new content that they want people to level through, I would imagine. But I think this is a fantastic choice for the seasons, because when you really look at it, there was no reason to raise the light by 50 this season at all, because there wasn't a raid, right? Like, there really was no point to it.
It's honestly super frustrating for me. And I think anyone who doesn't have a lot of time to grind levels early in the season ends up spending much of the season feeling like they've been left out of the higher level content, which is frustrating, right? So I'm stuck right now at like 12, 70 or something, because I just haven't had time to play between work and random winter storms and, you know, various things. It's like, well, okay, this is a huge bummer. And even if those things hadn't happened, just playing at my normal pace, I probably still would be leveling slower than people who have more time to play than me. And just for a season, it's like, but why? Why does it need to be 50 more? There was really no story to play through that was going to level me up. So it's just like, well, here's the in-game content, and no, you can't fully participate in it. You know, which is something we've been through before. So it just felt like they didn't learn from those past lessons that people don't like being level gated out of the only new content. Right? I can still play the regular Battlegrounds, but if I want to do anything beyond that, I'm stuck. I tried to go into Iron Banner, and I was just like, nope. you know, putting up 3 kills because I can't, I literally can't chip somebody down before they escape or kill me. Is just not fun, so I stopped playing Iron Banner, which sucked. You know, it's like, eh. So this, to me, is like huge news.
A huge quality of life change. I will say that I'm probably in the minority where I believe that the light grind has a purpose sometimes. Like, I, you know, if you asked me if I thought we should get rid of light entirely, I do not believe that we should get rid of light entirely, because what I think light does is it allows players to over-level activities that are in-game when they first come out, and then play the activity at an easier level, which is more accessible for a lot of people, right? And in the absence of variable difficulty levels of activities, although they did point out that they might be bringing stuff like that in, like they plan to have master versions of raids and stuff moving forward, which is awesome, right? But in the absence of variable, you know, selectable difficulty levels, what it does is if you want to get the raid done day one and you're 30 under, you can do it, but it's going to be hard. If you want to wait 2 or 3 weeks until you're 30 over, then you can go back into the raid and it's a little bit easier, right? And so I think light serves a purpose there. However, I don't think jumping light up by 50 every single season
right
served any purpose other than just forcing players to grind activities they didn't want to grind to get light that they didn't really need, except for just an arbitrary, like, there wasn't a progression system that was fun and that made sense. It was just, here's the same things you've been doing for the last 9 months, do them again because 3 months has passed.
Yeah.
And that wasn't a ton of fun. It wasn't like, you know, here's a new raid, the new raid is this light level, here's a new story, the story increases in light levels, you go through it, you have to play through it. Like, it wasn't anything like that. It was literally, like you said, it was just like, okay, well, now Trials is 50 light level above where you were, good luck.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just like sort of this, it felt arbitrary and discouraging, and there was not a whole lot of point to it. But we've talked a whole lot about what was really only like 2.5 paragraphs of changes. It was an important change, but let's roll on to something that I think is important to all of us, or at least all of us that participate in the Crucible. So we've got, I think, I feel like they've made some vision statements in the past, but it has been a long time since the Crucible has had a cohesive vision statement that they were working towards. So here's what he shared. Direct player versus player competition is essential in Destiny as an option to express mastery of your Guardian and showcase the strength of your arsenal against other players. And like he says, it's a pretty simple statement, but I think it, you know, again, like he says, it is crucial to making the game feel complete. For people that want to showcase the skill, the rewards, the choices they've made in building out their Guardian, it never matters more than in the Crucible.
Yeah, it's nice to hear them say Crucible is a necessity for Destiny, the game. It is a requirement. It will stay. We will be putting effort into it. Like, it's nice to hear them say that, because it had been so long that I know that people were questioning whether or not PvP was even a focus any longer. It hadn't been a focus for a while, but whether it was going to be a focus moving forward or whether they were just going to let PvP kind of die off, right? And like continue to keep it there, but not really trim it or prune it or anything. And eventually it would just wither away, right? It's really, really encouraging to me that they flat out said, that's not the case. It's not what we're going to do. We have a vision for PvP. We believe that it is necessary to Destiny as a whole that PvP continue to exist and that PvP be healthier. So they said that they're going to focus on two priorities: gameplay sandbox balance and PvP, and upgrading the experience of the aspirational game modes. And they've divided those further down. So for sandbox changes, they said that you can put them in three major buckets. First off, they're going to be addressing three peaking, which is fantastic because that has been a tremendous problem in high level comp and trials for a while. Emotes are just flat out going to be disabled in trials and competitive, which is a little bit of a bummer, but you know, it's honestly worth it at that point. Like me emoting over someone I kill does not serve to improve the game mode in any way at all.
Yeah. Take that to control.
Yeah, exactly. And then secondary, no third person. It's actually funny. They didn't just say swords. They said any third person weapon that does not have ammo will not be able to be pulled out.
I like that because it leaves them open to bring other third person weapons in.
Well, they've already got the animation of the hammer that we swing at the end of the battlegrounds now.
Yep.
So what are the chances that just becomes a melee weapon like the gravity hammer? That would be fantastic.
That'd be pretty awesome.
Yeah. And, you know, these changes might not be the final changes ever for this problem, but at least in the short term, it will solve the issue of people emoting to see around corners and people sword peeking to see around corners, which is going to be fantastic.
Yeah.
Second, stasis. Perhaps the biggest, iciest elephant in the room. They have detailed what to me actually seems like a relatively small amount of changes to stasis. And they say that their goal is to bring them in line with the light subclasses. Behemoth is suffering the most, as it should. The super damage reduction is being decreased. It increases the super energy cost when performing the light attacks. It removes the freeze area of effect on supercast, which is fantastic. And then it also reduces the traveling efficacy of Shiver Strike when slowed. I'm pretty happy with that. Super damage reduction definitely need to be toned down. Hopefully they bring it to 50% or lower. Increased super energy costs from performing light attacks. That to me reads as we are decreasing the duration. Because if you do a light attack and it eats more time, that effectively decreases the duration without actually just making the super last less time.
Right.
The freeze AoE on supercast going away is a great change because that was really annoying. And it basically was a Fist of Havoc that froze you just whenever you activated it, but you could activate it anywhere you wanted. It was very frustrating. And then reducing the traveling efficacy of Shiver Strike when slowed. I mean, I'm happy to see that because they could basically just Shiver Strike around the map regardless of whatever they were doing, regardless of what state they were in. So I'm glad to see all of that. I think those are good changes for the Behemoth Titan. I think it's still going to be very strong.
Yeah, I think this feels like a nuanced touch to tune down some of the most egregious parts of that class without taking away from, you know, what is and what should continue to be a fun class for people to play. And a class that a lot of people have worked hard to master. I think they'll still be able to express that mastery. It'll be just, you know, there'll be a little bit more room for counterplay, which right. is so important.
Then Revenant Hunter is getting touched as well. They're decreasing the Withering Blade damage and the tracking, which is funny because they just buffed the damage literally last patch, and now they're decreasing it again. The tracking, I'm a little bit bummed at that they're going to be decreasing because I very much liked having many Sentinel shields that I could throw. I would actually much rather them just decrease the slow stacks and decrease the damage and leave the tracking the way it is because it's just, you know, I'm a little bit worried that with any projectile melees, if there's not some tracking, you know, you lose some of the ability to actually use it. And then they're also removing the Shattered Dive damage reduction, which, to be honest, they should have done to begin with. There never should have been any damage reduction on Shattered Dive at all. So,
yeah, I think Shattered Dive has been well and sufficiently nerfed. I think it's still something that has situational usefulness, but I don't know. I don't see people using it on the regular anymore. And before, I like I said, I was already seeing people use it a lot, but not effectively on, you know, in the general population, right? I know high-end experiences are always different. This, I would hope, is kind of the answer to making it something that's acceptable for use in high-end play by allowing people to still counterplay it. You can now for sure shotgun somebody out of their Shadow Dive.
Yeah, I basically have, I'm still using Shadow Dive. I was talking about this before the podcast, but I'm still using Shadow Dive mostly just because I like the stat splits that I get with the whispers that it gives me. However, I do use it pretty effectively defensively now. So when people charge me or when people are pushing with a super, I use it defensively. I no longer use it to like run in and clear a room like I used to, right? Which is fine. I'm a little bit worried that they're also doing a general tuning where they're decreasing the crystal shatter damage. I'm a little bit worried that it's pretty much going to make it to where now, you know, the basically Shatter Dive is ineffective even for that type of thing. So I'm a little bit concerned about that, but there's no mention of them changing dust field grenades here. So if they really, really do destroy my Shatter Dive to such an extent that I can't even use it to kill people anymore, then I'll just switch to dust field like everybody else and get the bad suck at 18 meters or whatever and just throw people across the room and freeze them. So
I already switched the dusk fields and I have not looked back.
Dusk fields for me are like shotguns, man. Like I hate them so much. I just can't bring myself to use them, but they are so incredibly strong and so good.
They are super, super good. Shadebinder Warlocks also getting touched, but in the opposite direction. This is a good touch. Fix bug where ice flare bolts wouldn't track towards targets immediately on creation. You know, I guess I can't say that I've been getting hit by ice flare bolts on a regular basis. So maybe this will make them something that I see. I don't know. And then fixed bug where Shadebinder super projectiles were not tracking until a certain distance traveled. That sounds like a good change. Obviously, those projectiles needed to be tracking to be, you know, doing their thing. So
based off what I'm seeing here, if Duskfield doesn't get touched, you know, they're also going to do some other stuff. They said that they're going to do some universal adjustments to stasis. They're going to increase the damage reduction when you're frozen to allow frozen people more chance to survive being frozen, right? So you'll be frustrated by being stopped, but at least you won't just be instantly shattered most of the time. You know, if the goal is to bring these in line with light subclasses, even with these changes, stasis just has so much general utility that I really don't think it's going to do it unless the light subclasses get buffed like a pretty substantial amount. So I'm hoping that at some point in the future, we will also see some nice, you know, and they do say that, right? Like they literally say, following the stasis tuning in season 15, we will focus on the light subclasses and we'll release a set of targeted buffs to the most underutilized specializations, right? I look forward to seeing that. I kind of reserve judgment on how effective this is going to be until we see what they do to the light subclasses. Because right now, the light subclasses, just in terms of customization and in terms of utilization, are just so far below stasis, with the exception of like top tree Dawnblade.
Yeah, there just aren't a lot of instances where it makes sense to choose a light subclass in PvP. In PvE, you know, again, I feel like we always say this, but in PvE, use what you like, right? You can play pretty much anything in pretty much any content and be successful, as long as you are comfortable and confident using it. So, that said, the stasis stuff still feels really good in PvE. I think it's going to continue to feel really good after these changes. So I hope that when they say their most underutilized specializations, they mean, like, I don't know, almost all of the light subclasses. If it's just three, I guess at least they're making steps in the right direction. I have a feeling they're probably going to touch one from each class. I'd love to see them maybe update two from each class and get a big, you know, a big piece of legwork done. I don't know if that's too much to ask. It might be. But yeah, a lot of those light subclasses, just I haven't used them in months and months, and I don't have any reason to.
I used Arcstrider in Iron Banner for two games, or three games maybe, because there was a thing that you had to get five ability kills with an Arc or Solar subclass.
Yep.
Couldn't use Stasis, right? I used Arcstrider, I equipped Shinobu's Vow, I put on double skip grenades, and I was like, all right, we're going to do this, you know? Yeah. And it wasn't the worst. And that's Arcstrider, which isn't really a weak light subclass, right? But I legitimately felt so weak compared to how I normally feel on my Revenant. Like, I felt so limited without Shrikens, without Shatter Dive, without Slow Dodge. Like, I just felt so limited. Like, I was thinking, like, oh, well, maybe I'll continue to play this after I'm done. No. I literally finished it up, and I was like, and right back to Revenant.
I mean, Arcstrider is still a relatively strong subclass, and the super is very good, but it's tough. And I think the more that we play Stasis and the better that we get at using it, and the more aspects and fragments that they give us that make it even stronger, you know, where I can be walking in with, you know, plus 10 recovery, you know, plus 10 mobility. I don't remember what all the stats are, but I'm getting plus 10 to two or three stats off of my fragments right now. It's just like, it's really hard to give up plus 30 stats from my subclass when that subclass itself is also good.
Right. Yeah. Like, it's really something. It's really something. Like, I very much am interested to see what they're going to try to do to the light subclasses, because there's quite a gulf that they're going to need to cover. Even with tuning down Stasis.
They really just need to re-release them. Like, that's what it comes down to. They ultimately just need to remake them in the image of Stasis.
But I was thinking, how hard is that going to be, though? Because Stasis, those whispers are universal across all classes, right? And you can't really do that with any of the light classes. Like, you could maybe do that with each light subclass. Like, all of the Hunter trees, you could make whispers that were universal between all three. You could make it all into one. But, like, you can't give Warlocks and Hunters and Titans the same solar whispers. Yeah, like, that would be very, very difficult, time-consuming to figure out things that work for all of them. But, you know, we'll see.